Kenny Rogers.
You've painted up your lips and rolled and curled your tinted hair. Don't take your love to town. I think it's love.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
And thank you so much for dropping in to check on our condition this morning. Kenny Rogers is in studio this morning. Thank you so much for everybody for being here. And thank you, Kenny, for all the music. And what an honor it is to have you here in our studio this morning.
I really appreciate that. It's good to be here.
Thank you. I was enjoying, just as we've been playing the music the last 20, 30, however many years, but going through all of the different
Kenny
songs.
All the time, that would have been good.
It's pretty much what we've done the last week or so. Playing the song, Lucille, got an email from somebody. They said, 400 children? You've got to have heard that since the song came out.
You know, my mom's name was Lucille.
Uh-huh.
And when she first heard this, she said, son, why would you write a song like that about me? I said, well, first of all, you have 8 kids. Start there.
Not 400.
And I said, secondly, I didn't write the song. So, but, you know, she was so cute. She'd get out and I bought her own tour bus. She had her own driver. So when she wanted to go on the road, she'd call Alan and say, Alan, let's go. And she'd sit in the front row and I would sing my songs and she'd wave to me every night, you know, and get on the bus and go to the next show.
Now, where are y'all from? Where was she, where did she live? And, you're a Texas boy. And you've written so many great songs. In fact, we were enjoying the Mel Tillis song, Ruby, and all the little pieces from the songs. And I gotta love the first edition, What Condition My Condition Is In.
Well, you know, I went to high school with a guy named Mickey Newberry.
Oh,
and he always wanted to sing in our group. I had a group called the Scholars in high school, which is, I assure you, was a misnomer. We were all like C and D students, but we elevated ourselves stature. But but Mickey always wanted to sing in our group, and he couldn't sing a lick, you know. And so he literally went home one Christmas and one summer and spent all summer in his room, didn't come out, and learned to play guitar and sang beautifully. And I don't know whether you know any of his music.
Oh, yeah.
He was an incredible talent. So he wrote this song. And I actually, when I asked him about it, I was with the New Christy Minstrels at the time. And I said, I'd like to record this. And he said, well, I'd like to let you have it, but Sammy Davis Jr. has it on hold.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't we have all liked to have heard that record? Sammy Davis doing just dropped in to see what condition.
I started to say Sammy Davis on acid, maybe.
Yeah, really.
Kind of a strange little thought. Now, the Scholars was high school, but there was actually a whole career between that and the New Christy Minstrels. Weren't you a jazz player?
I played upright bass and sang jazz for 10 years. And it's the best thing that could have happened to me because it gave me, I think, such a good musical background and a history of music.
Right.
And all the music from the 30s and 40s and stuff like that. And then, you know, I've actually been raised on country music because when I would go to school, my mom would be doing the ironing and she'd have a big pitcher of iced tea on the back of the ironing board and be listening to Hank Williams and Little Jimmy Dickens. Oh, so wow. I had a really serious country background, but just got diverted for a while.
Now, you started out in Texas, and then you are now, if I'm not mistaken, in Georgia. You in Atlanta now?
I live in Atlanta now. I had a house. I lived in L.A. for 20 years.
I have a question
about
that.
But while I was in L.A., toward the end of that time, I also had a place in Atlanta, in Athens, Georgia, which was right outside of Atlanta.
Los Angeles. I heard a rumor a long time ago that you and Larry Gatlin kind of had like a little thing.
Oh, no. We never dated.
Allow me to be more specific.
What kind of show is this? Dr. Ruth?
Welcome to the Breakfast Flakes. No, that was kind of like a little, I don't know know if it was a friendly thing, but the rumor was that the Gatlin boys, and there was three of them, was about them, and all the gold in California was about you.
Well, you know, start here. I didn't write the song, so it may have been about them.
Right.
But, because that's just a straight, you don't pick that name out of a hat.
Sure.
But I didn't do it. And Larry, you know, they used to work with me a lot.
Sure.
And every time he'd come on stage, he would make some joke about how we were slamming him around. No, Larry and I have always been the best of friends, and I think he is a great, great talent.
Was all the gold in California about you?
Well, he said he used to change the lyrics, and he would say, "All the gold is in the bank in Kenny Rogers in California, and Kenny Rogers'
Kenny
name."
Kenny Rogers' name. That was somebody else's, yeah. I guess. You've had an opportunity to work with so many incredible, incredible people in your career. Not only traveling with, but also duets. You've been able to bring magic to so many great songs, and I heard recently that the whole duet thing with Dottie West kind of was an accident.
Absolutely. I mean, it was just a timing situation. Larry Butler, who produced Dottie and was also producing me, he was supposed to finish her session at 8 and mine was supposed to start at 9,
uh-huh.
And she was running late, so I got there early, and I'm just sitting in the control booth, and she's singing a song called Every Time Two Fools Collide. And she said, and she came in, she was listening to it. She said, "Boy, I always wanted to sing with you." And I said, "Well, I think I know this song. Let me go try it," because I'd heard it over and over again.
Sitting in the studio.
Yeah, so I went out and I sang a verse, and that's how the whole thing happened. And it was, to me, I miss her more than anyone will ever know. She just was such a sweet, she had such a great soul about her. She was always great to be around and seemed to struggle the last 10 years of her life. Even during her success, she was still kind of struggling. And of course, the IRS, for those of you who don't know the story, just kind of took her life away from her because she had a bad business manager who spent all of her money, lost her money.
Ouch.
So the IRS took her house, took everything from her at the end of her life. I mean, it was pretty, pretty tragic.
Somebody told me then that you actually gave her a car.
Yeah, you know, people can't own things who are in an IRS situation.
Right.
So what I did was I had a car that had been sitting around my house. It was a relatively new car,
mm-hmm.
and I just loaned it to her until she could kind of figure out what she was going to do.
That's so cool. Well, I got to tell you, we got this song, and I've never been more happy for two fools to collide in my life. Special guest Kenny Rogers with the incomparable Dottie West.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
So many great people that you sang with. Who was probably, of your whole entire career, from the very first time you decided you wanted to do this for a living till now, who do you think has been the most significant person you've met?
Impacted me. Probably Ray Charles.
Wow.
You know, well, first of all, I saw something the other day that was really interesting. He said that you'd be amazed what percentage of young men or young boys at the age of 12, not 11, not 13, at the age of 12 decide what they want to do with their life.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a transitional period emotionally. You're no longer a child. You're about to become a teenager. And you see something and you go, "That's what I want to do." Well, my sister took me to see Ray Charles when I was in Houston. I was 12 years old. And I was so amazed how everybody laughed at everything he said. They clapped at everything he sang. And it was never about the money. It was about how much fun does that look like to be up there? And I didn't even know I could sing at the time. I was singing in church choirs and glee clubs. But it was only when I got with the jazz group that I started developing a style and a technique. And when that door opened up, I jumped all over it because I kind of knew from that point that's what I wanted to do. I wasn't sure I'd be able to. But
so did you ever get a chance to actually play and sing with Ray Charles?
Oh, yeah. I did a television show, and he came on the show and sang a song with me that I wrote called Lady Luck. It was pretty cool.
We
became really good friends. You know, and when I did my photography book, I took his picture, and it was so cute. Because in there, I told him, I said, "Ray, now here's the picture I want to get. I want to get a blurred picture of you. You know how you rock back and forth?" And he's going, "Oh, Kenny, man, I can't do that. Man, I got..." So I told him a really dirty joke. So he's like, "Oh, yeah, get it."
So you had the motion picture going there.
Well, I had to get him in action, you know.
That is so cool. You have recently just started a new family, and you have twin boys?
Boy, I not only started, I finished it.
How old are your boys?
That was a one-off, I'm afraid. Two-off in this case.
How old are your boys?
They're so cool. They're 19 months old now, almost 20 months old. And they, you know, there's now you start getting back, you know, for the first year you give and you give and you give. Right. And now at this age, you start getting back from them, you know, and said, because they have personalities and they recognize you and they react to you and they come to you when they get hurt.
Now, they're identical twins?
I mean, I'm embarrassed to tell you, I can't tell them apart.
So no, it's you just, recognize them. You don't recognize them, Jordan, but they recognize you.
Jordan has a little freckle right in the middle of his forehead. But, you know, it's sad to have to pick up your child and turn, oh, Jordan, how are you?
Now, you have another son that is an actor.
Yes. Christopher, he's in the new video.
What a great video. It's really fun. We're watching it the other day. I was like, who is that guy? I recognize him. Who is that guy? And then
that was
somebody
Oh, you mean the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy. And when I saw the credits, it was your son. That's got to be cool.
Well, you know, he wanted to be an actor. You know, he quit college because he didn't want to work or something, and he wanted to be an actor.
Because that's said, not
well,
work.
Yeah. I said, well, you know, Chris, I got to tell you, your ability to survive is based on your ability to accept rejection, because in acting, so much of it is rejection, so little of it is acting. And so I think he's got a good handle on it, and I believe in people chasing their dreams. So, you know, he's got enough time to do what he wants to do. Sooner or later, he'll do what he has to do. And if he's lucky enough to be able to act for a living, he's actually very good.
So, he was quite believable. Yeah. Like I said, I thought he was cool before I found out that he probably didn't even have to audition.
Yeah, well, he didn't. But, I mean, who wouldn't be cool acting like you're in love with a beautiful girl? You know, it's like, I think he did kind of develop a hook for her. You know, but I told him, I said, Chris, just remember this. When she kisses you in this thing, she's acting. And he just knocked the wind out of
it. Now, you're an actor. You've done a lot of movies. I remember seeing you in a movie a long time ago called Six Pack. Was that first film you did?
I don't
That's first
know.
One
I want to say
I
The Gambler was first.
Was that first?
Yeah, I want to say The Gambler because I'd never acted at all. And I have this story that I tell about Randolph Scott, who was an old Western cowboy.
Yeah.
And he went to join the Los Angeles Country Club. And they said, we can't let you join because you're an actor. And he said, I'm no actor, and I have 41 movies to prove it. That's kind of how I feel about my acting. I think I'm really good at being me. And, you know, you put me in any clothes, and I'm still going to be me. But there are a lot of people that can't do that.
This has got to have been just an incredible, incredible trip. We'll talk more about acting and more with Kenny Rogers. He's the ladies' man.
Look at
next.
And she believes in me. I'll never know just what she sees in me. You decorating my mind. I need a rose. Call me from work. Open a door for me. What would it hurt? Show me you love me by the look in your eyes.
It's Kenny Rogers this morning. The ladies' man. You have performed so many beautiful, incredible songs. I was going to do a poll here. Everybody I've asked said, what's your favorite song, your favorite Kenny Rogers song? 9 out of 10, it's Islands in the Stream.
Well, you know, first of all, Dolly has this phenomenal ability to create chemistry wherever she goes.
Not bad.
You know? And you have to know the story about that song, because I'd been recording with Barry Gibb, the Bee Gees.
Right.
You know, and he did that whole album. And we had recorded this song for like 3 days, and I just said, Barry, I don't even like this song anymore.
And I'm sick of it.
Said, you know what we need? We need Dolly Parton. I mean, I didn't know Dolly at the time. I'd met her, but I didn't know her. And Ken Cragen, who was my manager, was there, and he said, hey, I just ran into her the other day, and she gave me her phone number. Let me call and see. And 45 minutes later, she came in. And from the moment she walked in that door, that song had a whole different character to it. And it had a life and it had a spirit all its own. And it is really one of the most fun songs. I actually closed my show with it and have for 15 years.
It is such a fun song. And you and she have just a phenomenal relationship, a friendship. Y'all pick on each other unmercifully, don't you?
Oh, I know. It's like me and Lionel. I mean, yeah, we go 5 years without seeing each other, but when we do, you need to stand back, you know, because, I mean, even on stage when we did the greatest duets
thing,
it was so much fun because they didn't tell us it was number one. They told us it was top three. So when we got there, we didn't know whether we were doing 3, 2, or 1. And when we both of us found out it was. Because once we found out it was number one, it really took on a different meaning to both of us as well.
Lionel Richie and you did Crossroads.
Yeah. Maybe the most fun thing I've done in 20 years.
That was one of the most fun things I've watched in 20 years.
You know, normally it's a 60-minute show.
Uh-huh.
And they said, you know, and normally you do a song and then you go back and say, well, I want to do it again because I didn't do my part right.
Right.
We didn't do that. We did started, we did the first song twice. After that, and there was nothing scripted. Everything on there was just us talking and having fun.
You know,
and
we it looked like fun.
We do. He and I just have this very special relationship where we I beat him up and he doesn't feel a need to slap back. And I like that.
You know? Now, the song Lady, yeah. What an incredible song. Did he write that for you?
What happened is I had heard Ray Charles's Modern Sounds of Country Music.
Right.
And I thought it was such a clever idea to sing R&B to country tracks. So I thought, well, what would it sound like if I sang country to R&B tracks? So I had heard Still and Three Times a Lady, which I thought were really country songs. So when I called Lionel, he said, yeah, well, let me work on something. So he comes over to Vegas and he sits down at a piano in my dressing room and he says, Lady, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All he had was one word. And I said, you know what? I think I like that. And he said, you know what? Then I think I'll finish it. So he goes back home. We're in the recording studio. We record the first verse and the bridge. And he's literally in the toilet writing the last verse.
So he didn't quite finish it before he started.
That's the only way he knows how to write. He has to be under pressure. He can't just sit home and say, I'm going to finish this song. But, I mean, what a great song that is. And, it, you know, all the ballads, if you look at Through the Years, She Believes in Me, You Decorated My Life, you know, Buy Me a Rose. They're songs that I think say what every man would like to say and every woman would like to hear.
And
so men are offended
it, yeah.
by them and women love them too. So, I mean.
You met Jesse Coulter on a plane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how long ago was that? I mean, like early,
God.
Like right at, I'm not Lisa
it
time.
It had to be somewhere around the early part of the 80s mm-hmm. or late 70s. And she was just telling me this story about how Waylon was going through some serious problems. And she said her problem was his band loved him so much, they couldn't say no to him. They didn't step in and help him. They just let him ruin his life.
They got like self-indulgent?
Yeah. And they actually in some cases promoted it because they just cared so much about him. And she said, it just breaks my heart to see that no one will stand up to him. She said, but I have to admit, every time he opens his mouth and sings, he's just a sweet music man to me. So I just thought there was something really, really nice about that thought and that statement. So the first half of the song was really written about Waylon. The second half was written kind of as a catharsis to me because I was going through a thing. I was with the First Edition. And I had long hair down on my shoulders. I had an earring in my ear and my sunglasses on. And I was kind of searching for who I was, too. So yeah,
we got a kind of an idea what condition your condition
yeah.
was in.
Well, it wasn't good.
Well, this song is one of my favorites. And when we were doing the polls, Ox asked me, he said, what's yours? I said, it's this one here. It's Sweet Music Man, Kenny Rogers.
Thank you.
Sweet Music Man right here in our studio.
And
this
you know,
morning.
The interesting thing is that may be the, I did it on the Crossroads with Lionel Richie.
Uh-huh.
And I, that may be the last time I ever get to do that song because I can't play guitar anymore. I've got some atrophy in my left hand and my fingers just don't work.
Oh, you got to hate that.
Oh, you know, it's okay. I never played great anyway. That just gives me a reason not to expose my weaknesses.
Sorry, I can't play guitar anymore.
Yeah, too bad. Sorry.
But so what are you doing now? I know you're playing, 120 dates a year or something yeah. like that. But you're into home decorating and home, like, recycling, aren't you? Like, hey, Kenny Rogers, flip this house.
Yeah, no, it's not that. I have a company in Atlanta. And we're a design company. Creating beauty is really what pushes my buttons. I don't care whether it's, you know, I do my own landscaping at my houses. And I like the design. And so we have this company. And we design furniture. And we also decorate and design high-end homes and condominiums. And we design restaurants and things of that
How
nature.
How neat.
Oh, it's great.
Now, is this always something that you wanted to do or just kind of evolved into
well,
it?
I mean, I think it's an extension of beauty creation. You know, music is a way of creating beauty, and then photography is a way of capturing beauty. And I think that for me, it's just, I like immediate gratification. That's why photography is so good for me, because I can take a picture, particularly with digital, I can see it immediately. But when I was developing and printing my own pictures, I learned to print my own. So I could shoot a picture and go down in my basement and print it and say, oh, I like that. Or, no, I don't like that. I'm going to go shoot another one. So I tried oil painting once, and it took me about 3 weeks.
Not for you.
No, I painted one picture. It's pretty good, but I painted one picture. I don't want to, that took too long.
You know, you create beauty also in the stories that you tell, just sitting here talking. I mean, this is such a neat way, the storyteller. The stories that you have sang about have been so incredible, and we'll share some of those coming up with Kenny Rogers next.
It won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. With four hungry children and a crop in the field. I've had some bad times, lived through some sad times.
Children and a crop in the field.
400 children. Busy lady.
It is Kenny Rogers and a wonderful studio audience. Thank y'all so much for being here this morning. I love your stories. I love the stories that you sing about. How do you pick a song? I mean, how do you say, oh, this is a cool song that I can do?
I just have this thing that if a song touches me, that I can make it touch other people. Because if that's what passion is. Passion is singing about things that touch you in such a way that other people will relate to them. I mean, so for me, I listen to a song and I say, what was it about that song? First of all, I think there's a single word synonymous with hit song, and that's familiarity. And there's two ways you can get that. One, you can sing a song that's familiar the second time you hear it, or you can be a hot enough artist to keep it in rotation long enough for people to learn it. Because
right.
It will not be a hit until everybody can sing it.
Right.
That's how you do that.
And, you know, that's something that you have just been the master of, is as soon as your songs come out, I mean, they're familiar and they're comfortable. Even the intricate story songs, I love The Greatest.
Yeah, what a great, you know, I have to tell you, Don Schlitz, I don't think, who wrote The Gambler,
right,
also wrote that. But I don't think he ever thought anyone would record it because it was a little story song. And I heard it, there's a thing called Picker's Night where the songwriters get together in this little bar and they all play their music to kind of test the songs.
And
so he had done this song and it was on a tape and someone played it for me and I said, oh, I've got to record that song. Because honestly, when it gets to strike three, two things. Number one, I remember as a kid throwing up a tennis ball and I had a broomstick for a bat. Thinking, okay, here we go. I got to get it now. This is the third strike. And so when it said strike three, it was such a letdown to me. I thought, well, where can this song go? But it just shows the goodness of kids.
I love,
you know,
where
to
it
be
goes.
Able to find something good from striking out is, it's really difficult to do.
It's one of the ones that we've gotten the most requests on. Here it is, Kenny Rogers and The Greatest. I love it. The Greatest,
says
Kenny Rogers.
I am the greatest.
You weren't finished. I'm sorry. I was
through.
Oh, you were done?
I was just rambling.
That I could pitch that good.
Yes.
I love it. Not only do you do great, great stories, but you also really know how to set a mood, don't you?
Daytime friends and nighttime lovers, hoping no one else discovers where they go, what they do, in their secret hideaway. Now I get scarlet. And it makes me want to wake her up and tell her that I'm on fire with morning desire. Lady, I'm your knight in shining armor and I love you.
Kenny Rogers is the ladies' man.
I don't know if there really is such a word as sexuous. You said a minute ago, I like this song because it's so sexuous.
I thought, made it up.
I don't know that I've ever heard that.
We make words up around here.
Yeah, right.
It's what we do. You really have got this phenomenal knack of telling a story about a little kid playing baseball or whatever y'all were doing and just dropped in to see what condition.
Right. Or an older kid. Yeah.
You know, exactly. To some of the most just romantic, sensual music. I mean, congratulations on being able to run the gamut in that career.
You know, I think a lot of that comes from the fact that I'm I want to say multidimensional, but I don't know if that's fair. But, you know, I was in jazz for 10 years.
Right.
And I was in folk music for a year, and I did the country rock thing with the first edition. And I think the more backgrounds you have, the more you can sing different types of music with honesty. And I think that's the key.
And I think that is the thing. I would like to see if there's any way. I mean, is there any way that you can track, like, the number of songs that you've done that have been in weddings, or the number of songs that you've been that have been the first dance, or the number of songs that are responsible for children being born?
Oh, well. I don't want to be a part of that, Kirby.
It really,
that opens up a whole new can of worms, doesn't it?
It's,
oh, you're talking about with my music.
Yes. No, we wasn't getting sexuous here on the Breakfast Flakes. You've got a new song out right now that is just so emotional.
You know what I like about this song? You know what I like about this song? It's a love song in a strange way. It's about a guy who believed everything he said when he said it. He believed it was forever. He believed that photographs were not photographs. They were memories to be. And all of us, you know, you find a lot of people who can fall in love, and some of them can't fall out of love. And here's a guy who just can't unring the bell. And I think what makes it so charming is that I think women love vulnerable men. They don't like weak men, but they
like vulnerable men. Right.
This guy's not weak. If anything, it's a strength, the fact that he really believed all of this stuff. And I can't, and it's just some great, you know, it's like sexuous. There's a great choice of words in here. I can't unlove you. I can't unhear all the words, unsay all the things. Well, those aren't really words, but by the use of those in that context, it creates a whole positive negative, if you will.
You feel it. You feel it in your viscera. And that's the thing I love about it. It's called How Can I Unlove You? It is the brand new one from Kenny Rogers. Yeah. Our special guest this morning, Kenny Rogers. This has been so cool.
You know, and thanks for having me here. I really appreciate it. I like to, when I get a chance, to just sit down and chit-chat. That's much more fun for me.
As we've been sitting here talking, everybody in the audience has kind of shared, you know, different things like that. What has been, and I know you get asked this by everyone, and I would be disappointed if the answer doesn't change from time to time, but what's been the luckiest break you ever got? Just the luckiest break, Dad, blame it. This changed the path of my life.
Well, you know, I think when I left the New Christy Minstrels, and the four of us who were the first edition, we all walked out of the center of the New Christy Minstrels to start the first edition. And the guy who was guitar player in the band, his mother was Jimmy Bowen, who's a world famous country producer.
Right.
His secretary, and she said, you know, Jimmy, my son's putting a group together. He said, well, come on over, we'll do an album on him. So literally, so in 3 days, we were starting an album. And within 2 weeks, Ken Cragen, who became my manager, was managing the Smothers Brothers. 3 weeks after we were together, we did the Smothers Brothers show, which was the hottest television show in the United States. And then off of that, we did the Tonight Show a month later. We'd only been together 7 weeks, you know. So I think those are pretty lucky breaks.
That's like Jiffy Pop.
Yeah, really.
You know? There you go. That's why you get that instant gratification thing.
I need it. I can't hang around long.
It has been a fabulous career and a great treat for all of us this morning. Kenny, thank you so much for being here
with
us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It is the song that everybody's been calling for. They love it. And I figure if you end your shows with it, I can end mine with it. Here's Islands in the Stream. It's Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
Yeah, Dolly Parton.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Baby, when I met you, there was